This is Science Friday. I'm John Dankosky, sitting in for Ira Flatow this week. Major League Baseball season opened last week amid the pandemic, with fake crowd noise, fake fans, but real players. That opening day enthusiasm, however, was dampened a bit when as many as 18 players and other members of the Miami Marlins team tested positive for COVID-19, forcing them to pause their season until at least next week. Every sports league is coming up with plans for how to play during the pandemic, and they're taking very different approaches. The NHL is playing in hub cities, and the NBA, it's in a kind of Magic Kingdom bubble. So how effective are these strategies, and what can we learn from them? My next guests are here to talk about that. Ben Cohen is a sports reporter for The Wall Street Journal. He's based in New York. Welcome, Ben.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Zachary Binney is an epidemiologist who studies sports injuries. He's an assistant professor at Oxford College of Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Zachary.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. And well, let me start with you, Ben. The baseball and basketball leagues have two very, very different approaches for how they're handling players. Maybe you can line out these different strategies for us.
Well, it's remarkable how different they are, given that they were handed a similar version of the same problem, which is how do you continue to play professional sports through a pandemic? The NBA built a bubble in Walt Disney World. They have 22 teams, thousands of people inside this protected environment in a state that was really burning with coronavirus when they all moved down. And so far, it appears to be working. They have been there for about 3 weeks, and there have been zero cases of coronavirus inside the bubble. Baseball took a different approach. They are playing games in home stadiums without fans, but traveling from city to city. And they didn't even make it a week out of the season before they had an outbreak on a team, with 18 players on the Marlins testing positive and games postponed and, you know, the schedule thrown into chaos already.
Why exactly did they choose these very different approaches? I mean, what's behind these differences?
There are lots of reasons. You know, one is that basketball is a really tough sport to play during a pandemic with an infectious disease that happens to be a respiratory illness, right? It's played indoors, it's high contact, it's crowded, you really can't go from city to city, whereas baseball is outdoors and it's fairly socially distant. The other thing is that there are labor issues behind this. The NBA, the owners and the players split their revenues, and they have a more harmonious relationship than Major League Baseball and its players unions, which has been involved in some real labor strife over the last few years. So it has to do with the sport. It has to do with the economics of the sports and also what they were each trying to achieve. Basketball is really trying to finish a playoffs, and baseball is trying to sneak a whole season into a very short amount of time.
Yeah, Ben, I look at this and I think, is this all just for show? It seems to me as though some people are just putting on masks because they were told we should probably wear masks.
Yeah, the question is this viral security theater, right? And that's also a question of what is happening inside the NBA bubble, because they're all wearing masks everywhere they go. They're not allowed to play, you know, doubles ping pong. And yet for 2.5 hours every few days, they are, you know, screaming and sweating on each other on the basketball court indoors. So I think there is a question about that. But there's a real difference between the two leagues in terms of testing protocols as well. I mean, you know, NBA players are being tested every day and they are getting results back basically overnight, which there are moral questions about that, but there's really no question that it is an effective testing protocol. Baseball, the players are moving around from city to city. They're being tested every other day. They're waiting 48 hours for their results, and they're playing every day. They are always behind their tests. And so, you know, we've seen basketball is this more controlled environment where it's going to be much harder for the virus to get in, and yet they are testing more and they are getting their results back faster than baseball, which is basically out in the community. It's a very odd dissonance that I think all of us who follow sports are trying to wrap our minds around.
I do want to add just one thing about, you know, some of these regulations may seem ridiculous on the surface, like the NFL, the players really revolted against, you can't have post-game jersey exchanges. But the other thing that we know about this virus is the dose matters. So the more time you spend around somebody, the more likely not only that you are going to get infected, but that you may be getting infected severely. So, you know, anything that you can do to reduce that contact time, I think is important. important as part of a broader integrated plan. Will it make a big difference? No, but I mean, you layer enough of those small differences on top of each other and eventually you have something.
So you've got a bubble plan that a few leagues are using right now, and you have the Major League Baseball plan, which is essentially no bubble. You're just flying around and you're playing baseball games, but without any fans and having some precautions. The NHL, Ben, is doing something a little different, right? So they've got hub cities, and they're trying to do it in a, I guess, a kind of a blended way.
But they're basically a bubble. It's essentially two bubbles. And this divide between whether or not to bubble is really the question that every sports league is trying to answer. So it's not just the NBA and the NHL. You have Major League Soccer. You have the National Women's Soccer League, which just finished a month-long tournament in Utah using a bubble. And then on the other side, you have baseball. And much more important, you have the NFL and you have college football. And what this country does with football over the next month or two, I think, is really the next great frontier in how sports deals with this pandemic. Because the NFL is the most popular sports league in America, and college football is this constellation of 120 schools basically making their own decisions while trying to figure out whether they can bring students back to campus as well. It is a logistical nightmare, and it is kind of playing out that way.
Yeah, Zach, what would you suggest as people try to design football seasons, if there's going to be football seasons, for the NFL and for college football?
You're seeing bubble plans work in the U.S. Ben outlined the ones that have worked. You're seeing non-bubble plans where players and staff live at home with their families, interacting with the community. You've seen them work in countries like Germany and South Korea, and even Spain and Italy, which had a very rough start to the pandemic, but have since gotten their cases under control. In the U.S., we very much do not have the virus under control, and so you see non-bubble plans failing in the case of the outbreak on the Marlins. And also, I would add, in Major League Soccer, before they entered the bubble, they had two big outbreaks start on Dallas and Nashville. So you have seen over and over again now non-bubble plans fail and bubble plans succeed. And maybe that's the only way you can succeed in the U.S. So what would I recommend for the NFL? If they can revisit it, and it may be too late, they may have done the best they can, but I would really love to see what I call home market bubbles. Meaning, for example, the Dolphins would book two hotels in Miami. The players and staff stay in the hotel, the training facility, and the stadium. They don't go elsewhere. They don't have contacts outside that NFL group. And when you travel to another city, you're going bubble to bubble and really restricting that outside of the league contact. I don't see a way that college football can do anything like that. You can't establish a bubble on a college campus.
When you think about a bubble plan for the NFL, which probably they should do, like logic suggests they should do that, there are all types of drawbacks. You're asking players and coaches to be outside their families for months at a time. These are real sacrifices that they would have to make. Now, granted, they're still making millions of dollars and this is what they do for a living, but you can imagine why players would not exactly be lining up to move into a hotel for 4 months.
So, Zachary, there's probably going to be more outbreaks. We'll probably see more instances where something happens. How are teams or leagues determining when things are going to get shut down? I mean, are there protocols in place to essentially say, we're done here, we can't have this team or we can't have this league play anymore for the rest of the season?
Well, I think that's the million-dollar question. And unfortunately, we've seen that MLB with the Marlins outbreak, I would have expected these were questions they'd settled weeks ago internally, even if they weren't talking about it publicly. But the fact that it took them a couple days to really decide what to do and that they didn't even suspend the Marlins-Phillies game on Sunday after they had four positive tests on one team in a couple-day period tells me that they did not have that laid out as a solid plan. Teams have been resistant to drawing a clear red line because there's a lot of intricacies, like the number of cases, how they're distributed across teams, how quickly they come in. I understand the desire to maintain some flexibility when making a decision, but the drawback to that is that you now have to make the decision in kind of this quick panicked mode. Maybe not the most qualified people are trying to make these decisions, and there's a lot of money in play. So it's just human nature to be tempted to push it a little bit further than it should go.
And if you have players who are taken out of play, they're put on an injured reserve list in baseball because they have COVID for a certain amount of time. Ben, how are they being replaced? I mean, who's replacing these sick players?
there is a taxi squad, is what they're calling it, of essentially minor leaguers who come up and take their spot. It's quite dystopian. But Zach mentioned, I mean, this question of when to shut down is really the question that everybody is watching in sports as sports return. And Zach and I actually talked a few weeks ago. He had this brilliant idea of essentially outsourcing the task to a panel of experts who might be more objective in making a decision, which I loved. I mean, I don't think any league is going to do this, but if you were to make the best decision possible, that's probably how you would do it, right, Zach?
Absolutely. I haven't seen any league embrace that, and I completely understand why. But then it leaves you with the potential for an MLB situation where it seemed like they were really scrambling to know the right thing to do, when to me, it was clear. What I've been saying for weeks now, and I actually wrote something up on this, is that if you see three or four cases in rapid succession, you need to be afraid of an outbreak on your team and shut it down. If you see that happen on multiple teams, that's when you need to start thinking about shutting down the league.
A lot of people listening to this show might say, why are you talking about sports? There's so many other important things to talk about. What can we learn from sports about how to really handle this COVID pandemic?
Sports are a microcosm of society, and I think it's instructive to watch how sports is responding to this virus, both good and bad, like still wanting to push for fans in the stands, even when they know that that's a bad idea for public health. But also, you know, you can look at coaches and players and even owners sending good messages about mask wearing and the fact that, you know, some Southern governors who may have been resistant to that actually came out and said, hey, wear masks so we can have college football. So you can use that maybe as a way in to talk about some important things. So like it or not, it's something that's here. It's an industry that's trying to deal with COVID-19. And so we got to pay attention to it and learn from it.
Zachary Binney is an epidemiologist who studies sports injuries. He's an assistant professor at Oxford College of Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. And Ben Cohen is a sports reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Thank you.